Let's begin our time with our prayer devotion. God goes to great lengths to persuade His people to pray. We're given the prayers of the saints, the servants, the people of God in the Scriptures. And we're also given that supreme prayer of our Savior Jesus, a prayer that Dr. Thomas is expositing from John chapter 17, the night before our Savior gives His life as a sacrifice for His own. That prayer of intimacy, of devotion. But I think for me, perhaps what is most convincing of God's earnest plea and desire that His children pray is related to that each person of the Godhead is related to prayer. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father invites His children to Him. He pleads with us. He calls us to seek His face, to draw near to Him. Think of the tones from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And God, in addition to these invitations, gives even more incentive through promise. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you, James says. Or perhaps, as we find in the words of the prophet of God through the prophet Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Something our Lord Jesus echoed and taught His original disciples and even us this day. So we have the Father who invites us to prayer. He reinforces His pleas, His gracious invitation with words of promise. And then we have the ministry of the Lord Jesus, our sin bearer, whose very perfect, righteous, substitutionary sacrifice has opened the way to the Father. Our sin barred us from His holy presence. But now in Jesus, He's opened the new and the living way where we have access to the Father. And Jesus, as we are celebrating this time of the year, some Reformed people will celebrate Pentecost and His ascension to the Father. He goes to the Father. And what is part of what is our Lord Jesus doing? He is our great intercessor. He is praying for His own. He ever lives to make intercession. And through Him, He intercedes for us and saves His own to the uttermost. And then there's God, the person of the Holy Spirit. That spirit of sonship through the Lord Jesus, our elder brother. That spirit of adoption in which genuine believers who have access cry out to God, Abba, Father. Well, tonight, for just a few more moments, I'd like for us to consider this aspect of the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer. From Paul's writing in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We're reminded in God's Word that the Lord Jesus is our intercessor. He is our great high priest praying for Christians. The Word of God here instructs us that there indeed is a second intercessor. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is the intercessor related to prayer, dwelling in the hearts of God's children. And just for a couple of minutes, I'd like to highlight two aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit as it relates to prayer in these verses. In verse 26, we learn of our need for the intercession of the Holy Spirit. And then at the end of verse 26 and then into 27, we learn something of the nature of the Holy Spirit's role in intercessory prayer for the saints, for the elect in the Lord Jesus. In verse 26 here, we learn of our need. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. While we are in the Lord Jesus, cleansed, forgiven, made new, we are those who are still fallen. We have our own inabilities and disabilities. And here he looks specifically at our weakness as it relates to prayer. Many of us in this room, perhaps most of us, would acknowledge when it comes to prayer that we indeed are weak, that our prayer life needs the Lord's strength and help. And here he gives an explanation. What is it that is particularly weak with respect to our prayers? And here the emphasis is that we do not know what we ought to pray for. And Paul here uses this expression, first person plural, we. He includes himself, not only those who received his letter at Rome, but he acknowledges that he himself is weak in this regard, that he doesn't always know how he ought to pray. And I think this is for our own encouragement, that the beloved Apostle Paul himself, indeed, as it were, taken to the third heaven, sees his own need, his own weakness. You know, he himself prayed that the thorn in the flesh might be removed. And the Lord adjusted that prayer, perhaps, or answered it differently, speaking of how that the grace, his grace would be sufficient for him. Now, when we say that we do not know how we ought to pray, that does not mean that praying is unimportant. Because we may not always understand fully what we ought to pray doesn't mean that we should not pray. To do so would be to miss the whole point of really what the Apostle Paul and what the Holy Scriptures is getting at in this passage and throughout the Word of God. Paul prays in the book of Ephesians for the believers at Ephesus in Ephesians 3, I pray that he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. There's an aspect and role of the third person of the Trinity, as our senior pastor would say, the personal agent of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in which helps greatly our prayers in the midst of our weakness of not perhaps understanding or knowing fully what to pray for. Now let's think about this for a minute. When Paul says we do not know what we ought to pray for a moment, Certainly, God has given us much clarity on many of the things that we are to pray for. While we may not fully understand all of our circumstances, He has given us His moral will. He's given us His Word. He's given us the Ten Commandments. Not only morally, but spiritually. He's given principles that we are to grow in grace, that we are to become more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are indeed certain things that are beyond our understanding. Moses, towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy, says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children. So Paul begins speaking of our need for the Holy Spirit in our prayer life by emphasizing our weakness, that we do not always fully understand what we ought to pray for. But then secondly here in this passage, we just have a couple minutes here, he speaks something of the nature of the intercessory ministry of the Holy Spirit as it relates to our prayers. The Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and He searches hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Paul here is speaking of the Christian who is perplexed, who is baffled, perhaps who is overwhelmed. And there's some reference to the Holy Spirit taking up the right and noble, the God-honoring cause of God's will for that individual. Certainly, the Holy Spirit has that true and perfect knowledge of the Lord and of His will. Paul here says a couple of things about the role of the Holy Spirit as it relates to our prayers. He says the Holy Spirit helps us. And this word help means together with or alongside, on behalf of. It's the idea of the Holy Spirit coming to help us with a burden, to bear a burden, to carry us with a burden. And that's what happens indeed when we find ourselves carrying something that we cannot handle, and another person comes to our aid who assists us. Perhaps you've tried to move a piece of furniture, helping someone move, and it's just a bit of a heavy burden, and someone comes right beside you to help lift the load, as it were, of that particular item. I don't want to trivialize the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but that is the idea of being a helper for the believer who is perplexed, overwhelmed, dealing with weakness, not knowing how he ought to pray. And here is reference to the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer. In verse 26, we read of the Holy Spirit as it were, Himself interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. And what is meant by this groaning? Calvin says that our prayers often far exceed the capacity of our intelligence. It means our understanding. And here, the teaching is not that the Christian just pulls himself up or herself up by their bootstraps without God's help, nor is it a let go and let God of the Holy Spirit doing the work. It is the believer praying, as John Calvin says, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. God is the one, we're reminded in the Word of God, who searches the heart. In Jeremiah 17, the Lord says, "I, the Lord, search the heart." And here, as He searches the heart, indeed He finds the Holy Spirit at work in the life of the believer, interceding for the believer. He knows indeed the mind of the Spirit, as Paul says here. And so the prayers of Christians, in the midst of perplexity and overwhelming circumstances, are fixed, as it were, on the way to heaven, as sometimes we hear our elders pray on Sunday evenings. Charles Spurgeon says of this passage, of this very verse, that prayers go to heaven in the revised version. Not in the original version as he looked at his circumstances, but through the working of the Holy Spirit, the prayers are revised and enter into the throne room of God Almighty. So when we are perplexed, this passage is a reminder us to come to God in prayer, acknowledging our weakness and dependence upon Him, but coming with confidence. Now, certainly this idea of the Holy Spirit, of our praying, as it were, groaning, doesn't mean that our words that we're not to pray with words, obviously. The Lord taught us in the Lord's Prayer to pray with words. And prayers in the Holy Scriptures are understandable, audible words. The prophet Hosea says, "Take with you your words and repent," or "turn to the Lord," is what the prophet reminds us. And so here in this passage, we're to our time, we're reminded that our triune God is involved in the prayers of His people. He's given us an incentive to a Father who willingly invites and receives the prayers. The Son, our Savior, who has opened the way to heaven and who is praying for us as our great High Priest. And the Holy Spirit, who helps us in our weakness in prayer, that our prayers might be revised. May God help us in prayer in our own weakness. May we be those who are strengthened by the encouragement and promise of God Himself, that He might hear and delight in the prayers of His people. So let's be those who don't just talk about prayer, but enjoy this high privilege that the Lord has given us through our triune God. So first we'll begin praying aloud, one person at a time, beginning to bring our praise to God. Let's begin extolling His name. I want us to think of His attributes, His character, who He is. Let's extol Him and praise Him for His majesty and His glory. Let's do this as one body together. If you're going to pray, please pray so that others can hear you and they can quietly pray with you. But let us go to God's throne of grace. Let's bring our praise to God.